بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق، ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب، ومن شر النفاثات في العقد، ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم إني أعوذ بك من جميع الفتن، ما ظهر منها وما بطن. وقال عليه السلام: اللهم إني أعوذ بك من كل فقر ينسيني، وأعوذ بك من كل غنى يطغيني. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: اللهم إني أعوذ بك من مال يكون علي عذاب، وأعوذ بك من ولد يكون علي وبال، وأعوذ بك من امرأة تشيبني قبل المشيب. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: اللهم لا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم، يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، علماء الكرام، respected elders and dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His divine wisdom and knowledge, has created in this universe, side by side with good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also created evil. And there are many, many dangerous things, many deadly things, many harmful things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created alongside good things, beneficial things, etc. We have been taught in the Quran and by the example of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam that not only are we to ask for the good things of this world or end hereafter, but we are also to seek Allah Ta'ala's protection from all forms of harm. So we will find in the collection of the du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he made dua for many good things in this world, we will find a substantial portion of the duas of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he sought the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from many, many harmful things. In fact, if we have to compile, in my limited knowledge, I tried to compile a list of some of the things from which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection, and at least 30 things came up immediately. At least 30 things came up immediately. There may be many, many more. If somebody really does a detailed study, they will find many, many more things. But these were some of the things that came up immediately. The various things from which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection. And his seeking of protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from these things was also by the hukam and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find these last two surahs of the Holy Quran, which are known as the Mu'awwadhatain, the two surahs in which we seek protection. They were instructions to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these words, قُلْ. Say, أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. قُلْ. Say, أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. So he was instructed, he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you should seek, O my Nabi, seek my protection in these words. As I'm teaching you, seek my protection in these words. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought Allah Ta'ala's protection from the many, many harmful things in this world. As I mentioned, there are many, many harmful things. Amongst the things that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought protection from is zulm and oppression. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min azlim o uzlam. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from being a zalim and from being a mazloom. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from oppressing anyone and being oppressed by anyone. This was one of the specific du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because to perpetrate zulm on anyone, to oppress anyone, is a very grave sin. The punishment of which will be witnessed in this world, besides the punishment of the akhirah. There are certain sins that are so abhorred by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the punishment of those sins are witnessed in this world before they are witnessed in the akhirah. One of those sins is disobedience to parents. And the other sin is zulm and oppression, oppressing someone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will unleash some form of azab on that person who is an oppressor in this world before he goes to meet the great punishment in the akhirah. An example that comes to my mind immediately is that zalim and oppressor, Ariel Sharon, who died recently. He was a zalim, an oppressor. His acts of oppression against the Palestinian people is well documented. For 8 to 9 years, the man was in a coma. And his body was virtually rotting in this world. People who know and who are close by say that some kind of a terrible stench used to be emitting from his body, that nobody would even go nearby. And staying in that harlot and condition for so many years, eventually he died. So whether the oppressor is a Muslim or a non-Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tolerate zulm and oppression. Many a times we find the condition of a person that he was very strong, powerful, wealthy, influential, a very prominent, eminent figure in society, and that caused arrogance, pride, vanity, haughtiness to enter his heart, and he then perpetrates some act of zulm and oppression on some person because he's in a powerful position, so he wants to wield his power, and the end result of that person, if you see, it will make us shudder, my dear friends. There are people who lost everything. They were completely annihilated, destroyed. A Muslim, at least, if he realizes his mistake, he can repent and make tawbah and try to make good before the big punishment of the akhirah. So we have been taught by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to seek Allah ta'ala's protection against oppression, against oppressing anyone, or being the oppressed, being mazloom. We should not relish the idea of being oppressed. We should seek ways and means of protecting ourselves from being oppressed. We should not be an oppressor, but at the same time we should seek ways and means of protecting ourselves from being oppressed. Whatever outward means Allah makes in this world of protection, we must adopt those means. Because there are times when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does appoint oppressors over people. And that is a form of azab and punishment. Governments are appointed over people to punish them If they are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we sometimes appoint oppressors over oppressors so that they can make them taste of their deeds and actions and doings. One zalim is appointed over another zalim. When the people become zalim, they become oppressors against themselves by committing sin and evil. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Allahumma inni ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي. Quran is telling us, teaching us the dua, that when you wrong, you commit sin, you transgress Allah's hukam and command, then you are making zulm on yourself. That is why we say, ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا, we have oppressed ourselves. So committing a sin is also an act of oppression. And a person becomes a zalim. And then Allah appoints zalims over those zalims and oppressors. It's a form of punishment and azab. When governments oppress their people, then it is a form of azab and punishment for their deeds and doings. Therefore, we have also been taught this dua by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith sharif. Allahumma la tusallit alayna bidhunubina man la yakhafuka fina wa la yarhamuna. O Allah, la tusallit alayna. Do not appoint over us La tusallit alayna bidhunubina. Do not appoint over us such rulers as a result of our sins. مَنْ لَا يَخَافُكَ فِينَا وَلَا يَرْحَمُنَا. Such rulers, that they have no fear. They have no fear of anyone. They are fearless in their zulm and their oppression. And they are merciless, and they are heartless, and they are brutal. So we have been asked, we have been taught to make this dua, to seek Allah Ta'ala's protection, that, O Allah, because of our misdeeds, do not appoint such rulers over us, who will have no fear of any reprisal, and who will have no mercy in their hearts. MashaAllah, the election is over and the results are being counted, more or less completed. And a picture has emerged about the outcome of the election, which party won, how many votes, what percentage, which parties are in, which parties are out. And a new government is to be formed now, after these results have come out. The results were more or less predictable, more or less what was expected has happened. We make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that alone, that there was no major upheaval, because that itself brings many, many complications in a country. So there was more or less expected results, stability, and we should continue making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that conditions remain suitable, conditions remain conducive, the country remains on a path of progress, overall there's prosperity in the country, overall there's law and order. We should not become complacent, my dear brothers, that fine, election is over, everything went smooth, everything went well. It demands us to offer plenty of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should make plenty of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. And we should continue making dua for the future as well, that Allah keeps the condition going well. Allah makes the conditions good and conducive and protects all from any form of zulm and oppression. Remember, conditions can turn and change overnight. It has happened in so many countries of the world. One example in front of our eyes right now is Ukraine. What is happening there? How many thousands have died? Overnight, conditions changed. Look at the example of the Central African Republic. Never in the last 300-400 years has there been such a genocide of Muslims as was witnessed in the Central African Republic. Muslims were hunted down like animals. Not one was spared. People had to flee overnight, left everything behind. These were traders. The Muslim brothers of Central African Republic were good businessmen. They were traders. They were very prosperous in trade. One person mentions how they were attacked by the militias. First, the French army came in, occupied, and they would go to the Muslim areas and disarm everybody. When they had disarmed everyone, not even a single knife was left behind. Then the Christian militia would be unleashed on them, and they would massacre them in cold blood. So these are examples in front of our eyes, so many other countries of the world, where conditions turn overnight. Anything is possible, anything can happen. We should not be negative, but it doesn't mean that we should not be cautious. We must take our precautions, and we must always be on the right side, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection is with us. Before elections, generally, there is some apprehension, anxiety and worry, but when elections are over, then we go back into a slumber and we feel that things are all hunky-dory, and everything is fine, and everything is going well. Be careful of this complacency, my dear friends. We have an important role to play in this country as Muslims. We have a great contribution to make. We have opportunities here like nowhere in the world. All this has been granted unto us by none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hundreds of ulama and scholars from all over the world who have visited this country, they're reminding us repeatedly that make shukr to Allah for what you are enjoying in this country. Many Muslim countries don't enjoy the freedom and liberty to preach the deen, practice the deen, propagate the deen as we enjoy in this country of ours. One alim who I invited from overseas, he was a very senior alim. When he landed, within minutes he told me that I can get the breath of freedom in this country, which I don't get in anywhere else in the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us these opportunities. These opportunities are to be grasped and seized. Let us not be in a comfort zone. Let's not continuously dwell in a complacency zone of life that we're just happy eating, drinking, merrymaking, and leisure, pleasure, having, enjoying good times. Nobody says we must not enjoy Allah Ta'ala's ni'mats. Enjoy whatever is halal and permissible as much as you want to. But there must be an objective and purpose of life We are not to live here aimlessly, just day to day, eat to live and live to eat. The cows have been made for that purpose, that they live to eat all the time. They are munching and munching and munching in the meadows. And then finally their result is they are taken to the slaughterhouse and they are slaughtered once they have been fattened. We are not like cows. We are not like haywan. We are insan. We have a purpose. We are Musliman. We have a very important maqsad and purpose and objective of creation. We have a duty, a responsibility. Repeatedly we are reminded that this ummah is different from all the other ummahs in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not only given this ummah the responsibility of ibadat, but this ummah has also been given the responsibility of da'wat. That do not sit back with the gold and silver and diamonds and jewels of iman and Islam that you, Allah has blessed you with, but go and share that with the rest of humanity and mankind. Those who will understand the purpose of creation and they will put this life of theirs, this capital of life that Allah has given, invest it wisely, they will get supreme returns, superb returns. Long after we leave this world, the returns will continue to accrue to them in their graves and their qabr. Allah Ta'ala make us wise in this regard, my dear friends. That this capital of life, we invest it in such a wise and intelligent manner that we are able to reap the benefits of it even whilst we are living and even after we have left this world. So the opportunities are plentiful. There are many areas of work. There are many areas where we can make contribution. There are many areas where we can become beneficial and useful and purposeful. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in a hadith, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The best of people in the eyes of Allah are those who are the most useful and beneficial to the people and mankind. Whether it is humanitarian work, whether it is welfare work, whether it is social work, whether it is spiritual work, whether it is dawah work, whether it is empowering people, whatever field, let us try to play our part somewhere. Life is not just about working, earning, and increasing our wealth and our assets, and sitting back and counting and being content. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemns those people in the Quran who amass wealth, and they amass it just for the pleasure of counting and seeing how much we made and what we are worth. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدًا. Their purpose is to accumulate wealth and count it. What are we worth? Our worth can't be determined in this world. The worth of insan will be determined on the day of Qiyamah in the scales of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we will see what is our worth. So my dear friends, we are not here just to accumulate wealth. There is a higher purpose and objective. Wealth is one of those things that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst the many things that he sought Allah Ta'ala's protection, he sought protection against wealth. Not just, it doesn't mean that one should not earn wealth or have wealth, but that wealth that becomes a fitna, that becomes a source of mischief, that can cause a person to become disobedient and rebellious. That is the wealth from which we have been taught to seek Allah Ta'ala's protection. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min malin yakunu alayya azab wa a'udhu bika min kulli ghinay yutghini. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this dua, O Allah, I seek your protection from all that wealth that makes me transgressing, rebellious, disobedient. We have to be careful that we shouldn't allow that wealth to lead us to israf, wastage, zulm and oppression. arrogance and haughtiness and pride. Wealth that is earned properly and used properly will draw a person closer to Allah Ta'ala. Just as we have been taught to seek Allah's protection from wealth that can make us rebellious, we have been taught to seek Allah Ta'ala's protection from poverty that will make us forgetful of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The best thing for a person in this world is to have sufficient halal wealth to lead a reasonable life, not too much of wealth that makes a person disobedient, not too little that makes a person all the time in worry and in anxiety that he forgets his obligations, but to be in between. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min malin yakunu alayya azab. O Allah, I seek your protection from such mal and wealth that becomes a source of azab and punishment for me. Wealth can become a punishment. When a person earns a lot of wealth, sometimes that wealth becomes a punishment. So we seek Allah Ta'ala's protection from wealth which can become an azab. This is a form of azab. That a person, his own wealth is become a source of fear for him. His wealth becomes a source of worry for him. He doesn't know where to put it. It'll get stolen it here, it'll get taken away there. So there are many, many things that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought Allah Ta'ala's protection from. Therefore, my dear friends, we should seek Allah Ta'ala's protection at all times from all form of harm, difficulty and hardship in dunya and akhirat. Yes, before I forget, many of the things that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought protection from was within our own self, our own weaknesses. He sought Allah Ta'ala's protection from lethargy, laziness, and from cowardliness, miserliness, bad mannerism, ghaflat, and bad habits, bad company, etc., etc. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.